Big night in the Motor City. A lot of people saying we won the NBA draft. Using the number 5 pick to take Jaden Ivey, the Purdue All-American and All-Big Ten player from South Bend, selected number 5 by the Detroit Pistons in Thursday night's NBA draft. There's a lot of hometown connections for Jaden Ivey. He's a huge piece for the future of this team. So, to talk a little bit about the future of this team, what this draft pick means, and to answer some of your questions, we do have open lines. 313-577-1019 is our friend John Neo, longtime columnist working for the Detroit News since 1995. Started covering the Red Wings, and now he covers it all as a sports feature writer. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ryan.
So, what was your feeling last night watching the NBA draft and seeing the Pistons select Jaden Ivey at number 5 overall?
Yeah, it was, look, for Pistons fans, I think it was a pretty cool night for a lot of reasons, but the emotion that sort of spilled out with Jaden Ivey and his mom and his family there in Brooklyn was genuine, but it was also, I think, reflective of what was going on at the Pistons Performance Center down to in Midtown there, because they were doing cartwheels as well. They were pretty excited with, you know, they had a plan going in, but you're sort of at the mercy of other teams and circumstances. And I don't think anything could have worked out better for them last night than it did in that draft.
So if someone's listening right now, maybe doesn't follow basketball all the time, but is into it and wants to know, who is Jaden Ivey? I mean, how do you describe him as a player and how he's going to fit into this team?
I mean, the simplest way is to say he's exactly what the Pistons didn't have, which is why they're so excited. But no, I mean, he's just he's, you know, arguably the most explosive athlete in this draft, certainly among the guards in this draft. I mean, he's as fast as you can get and gets by guys really without effort, it feels like at times. And that's the sort of explosive, you know, element that they've been missing. They obviously lucked out last year, won the lottery, and were able to land, you know, their sort of their franchise centerpiece in Cade Cunningham, who's a different kind of player, real more of a, you know, controls the game in a lot of ways, but not with necessarily some, you know, just flat out quickness and athleticism. And Ivy now is his, you know, backcourt mate. And really, I think they've got a backcourt now for the next decade that can really be one of the best in the league before too long. And so this was, you know, that was certainly the primary goal. And then as the draft went along, and we had already seen hints of this, you know, in the day before with a big trade that we were sort of expecting, but fans were maybe underwhelmed by in the immediate with trading away Jeremy Grant, one of their, you know, their leading scorer from last year and a guy who was due a new contract. And so there was a lot of wheeling and dealing that was going on, and they were able to parlay that into another player that's really, I think, in the same mold, a guy, Jalen Duren, who's another explosive athlete that they've been lacking in that lineup. And so that was the goal going into the night, was to get more athletic and, you know, more exciting, to be honest, for fans. And they certainly get an A+, I think, in that respect.
So you're looking at the you know, October starting lineup for the Pistons this year, and you're going to see the quiet storm, Cade Cunningham, as they call him, you know, a guy that is often said, already been pointed out by all-star players in the NBA, pulling him aside and saying, wow, you got game, you control the game, like you said, which is usually a thing that a young player doesn't really have. So you've got that quiet storm. You're saying with Jaden Ivey, we've got a slasher, a shooter, kind of that freak athlete that brings some speed to the game.
Yeah, and absolutely. And a guy who, you know, if Cade is controlling the game, in some ways, Ivey, they're going to look to, you know, to blow it up in a way, because, you know, attacking closeouts, all those things that coaches, you know, want, but only certain guys can do. And he's one of those guys. And we saw it in college, certainly. College and pros, a different game. He's one of those guys. We say this a lot about players that, well, you know what, his game might expand in the pro, at the pro ranks. Jaden Ivey's game is made for the NBA, and just in terms of his athleticism and his ability to create things one-on-one. And so, you know, he's got holes in his game. They all do, especially these days in the NBA draft with the players as young as they are and as inexperienced as they are. But he's also got, and this is, I think, again, what Pistons fans are really going to be able to wrap their arms around is, you saw it last night and you mentioned it off the top, the local ties. And that was, he was excited to come to Detroit. And we saw that with Cade Cunningham last year. He really sort of embraced the idea of coming to Detroit and building this thing here. And Jaden Ivey, you know, his mom played for the Detroit Shock several, you know, 15, 16, 17 years ago. His dad grew up here, went to Country Day, played football at Notre Dame. And his grandfather played for the Detroit Lions, James Hunter. So his grandmother owns a clothing store in town. I mean, this is a homecoming for him in a lot of ways. And those are the kind of guys, look, Detroit isn't necessarily the primary destination for free agents in the league and certainly hasn't won a lot here in the last decade or so. But when you get guys that are talented and coveted and want to be here, I think that's an added bonus for an organization.
There was a lot of emotion with Jaden Ivey and his family, and he's talked a lot about what it means to come back home in a lot of ways. And let's go ahead and hear what Jaden Ivey had to say about that.
Well, probably be about not even too far from my grandma, so I could get home cooked meals. She would cook some good food for me. So, you know, just to be in Detroit, that's really home. I've been there, you know, a couple of times, and I've lived there when my mom played for the Shock, and you know, back and forth, you know, just seeing my grandparents. So, just be there is special. It's gonna be special.
Now, John Neo, as a columnist, you have to love to hear that because that's just a great story to be able to tell, right?
Yeah. Also ages me a little bit. I covered his dad when he played football at Notre Dame. Not that long, you know, doesn't feel like it's that long ago, but clearly it was. No, it absolutely. And it goes to that. Look, they're building Troy Weaver in 2 years, the general manager of the Pistons, you know, he took over 2 years ago and has completely overhauled the roster, also managed to clear the books financially, which explains how he was able to do some of the maneuvering again last night, you know, using cap space to land another lottery pick and all those sort of things that make fans' heads explode sometimes. But yeah, absolutely. You've got this now young core. I mean, Weaver joked about it last night. We'll talk to Dwayne Casey, the head coach, today, and I'm sure he's going to shake his head a few times as well. I mean, they're going to have to check IDs at the door because this is a really, really young team. It was already a young team, and it just got younger last night. Duren was the youngest player in the draft. He doesn't turn 19 until November. So there are going to be some growing pains still, but it's a group that they've now put together that they think fits together just in terms of, you know, culture and work ethic and all of those things that are important. But also just in terms of age and timelines. And so these guys, you know, in theory, will grow together. And, you know, that's how if NBA fans that casually watch the NBA too, you watch the NBA finals this year, the two teams that were there, Boston and Golden State, both were built organically through the draft for the most part. Certainly had some luck along the way, and that's what it takes. But that's the idea behind what, you know, Weaver and the Pistons are trying to do here now.
Yeah, and John, we're going to dive into that culture building here in Detroit. But I do want to give you one for free when we're talking about general manager Troy Weaver. This is a headline for free from me to you. Dream Weaver.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's heard that a couple of times, I think. Trader Troy is another one that's making the rounds with the Pistons Twitter mafia. But yeah, absolutely. And look, this town and, you know, fans are understanding how difficult rebuilds are because they're all going on at the same time with their team, the pro teams in this town. But you're starting to see, you know, different ways of doing things, but also just what's possible with some of the young general managers in this town. And Troy Weaver's one. Brad Holmes with the Lions, I think, is getting some pretty good reviews from fans early on in his tenure. And obviously Steve Yzerman's a known quantity here in this town, but his rebuild takes a lot longer. It's a slower process in hockey and in baseball, as fans are finding out. But Weaver, certainly, I think fans are pretty excited about the direction he's turned this thing.
Okay, so maybe we'll save the Dreamweaver headline for when these young players turn into championship players for the Detroit
Pistons.
There
are always nightmares right around the corner in pro sports. So
that's true. Yeah, that's true. We're talking to Detroit News columnist John Neo, taking a look at the NBA draft last night for the Detroit Pistons, but also talking a bit about sports culture here generally in Detroit and the things that are being built right now in the city of Detroit, because while there's not a lot of results yet, there is a lot of excitement, there is a lot of potential, and that's where I want to bring you into this conversation. 313-577-1019, that's 313-577-1019. If you got a question for John Neo, want to pick his brain about the sports that he covers here in the city of Detroit, including that NBA draft last night, I'd love to hear from you. But also, where do you think we're heading? Who do you think is going to be the first major sports team here in Detroit to finally be the ones to put that oversized jersey on the Spirit of Detroit and bring a championship back to this town? 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019. Now, John, you know, one thing I've noticed these past two drafts, right? You've got Cade Cunningham, who immediately is playing into the Detroit audience.
Yeah.
He puts on the buffs. He's talking the right things. He's getting people excited. And then you have Jaden Ivey, who's coming back home and talking about eating grandma's homemade meals again and his connections to the city. I don't remember a time when we had players coming into this town who really embraced it so well and also were just kind of PR savvy. Like, we're saying the right things that Detroiters wanted to hear. You could add Aiden Hutchinson again with the Detroit Lions, another hometown guy. Is that a change that you're noticing too? Are these players getting more savvy, or is it a genuine excitement to be here in Detroit?
I think it can be both. And in the Pistons case, in Cade Cunningham's case, it's certainly a bit of both. But, and Jaden Ivey obviously has more genuine ties, if you will, to Detroit. But, you know, they get it. I think it matters too, and the Pistons are, you know, certainly leaning into this as an organization, as a franchise. I mean, today when they have their introduction of these draft picks, it's going to be downtown at one of the parks. I mean, Tom Gorris, just a couple of weeks ago, the owner, they announced that they're going to spend $20 million, invest $20 million, and build a new community center at Rouge Park and the Cody neighborhood there, and Cody Rouge neighborhood, and so they're making an investment, and that is, you know, been years in the making here with the move back downtown of the Pistons. And I think the way they're trying to embrace and enhance their image in the city, I think then gets reflected back by some of the players. And the players, I think, gravitate to the idea of playing in the city. That's, you know, obviously there's a different vibe in Detroit now than there was 10 years ago or whatever. And so these young guys certainly, I think, can relate a little bit more to what's going on with the franchise, and vice versa. I think if the wins start to come, and that's always, you know, the elephant in the room, you got to win for fans to show up and spend their money and all those things. But that's certainly the way this looks like it might be headed. And, you know, the pieces are starting to fall in place for it to happen. And I think that's what has, you know, maybe it's still a niche. Maybe the Pistons fans, they lost some when they moved back downtown, certainly because Oakland County had, that's where they, you know, won all their championships. But I think coming back downtown, I think there's a growing feeling downtown, you know, that the Pistons maybe are about to be a hot ticket.
Yeah, you saw that a little bit at the end of last year. You know, certainly not a winning team, but with the way Cade was playing, with the way Sadiq Bey was playing, people wanted to be down there. And John, I would love for you to talk a little bit more about the organization itself trying to embrace the city, because I've noticed culturally, you know, there's way more local performers that are performing at halftime. Yep. They're doing things that feel way more connected to the city. Can you talk about some of those transitions? Because as you mentioned, it hasn't been that long that they've actually been back down in Detroit.
No, right. And look, they had to reintroduce themselves to the city of Detroit and its residents in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, they're, you know, the Pistons, when they were going great and winning championships and, you know, late 90s, but also or late 80s and also in 2004 when they won again. But yeah, they, you know, they they sort of had to sacrifice some of that fan base, I think, certainly some of their season ticket base, when they decided to move back downtown. But and in doing so, they knew, you know, they were a team that was sort of an afterthought in the NBA and around this town by then, after a decade of, you know, just sort of wandering the wilderness. But yeah, they've leaned into it, certainly are making investments in the city. You can argue about tax breaks and all that stuff, and I'm certainly not going to argue with those who do want to point some of that out. But yeah, they're making a concerted effort to connect with the residents in Detroit, the city, certainly the youth programs they've got going, and some of these investments in parks and recreation with the Parks and Rec Department. So there's an emphasis there. But like you said, too, the game entertainment product that they put on, you know, 40 nights a year at Little Caesars Arena is also geared to that same market, that same demographic, if you will.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, it's noticeable. And I think they'll start to feel, I mean, like you said, at the end of last year, there were some crowds there. I went down a couple of nights and thought, wow, this is, I'd forgotten what this can sound like.
Yes, because I went to a lot of games where it was me and maybe 100 other people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And look, they're not oblivious to the fact that, you know, they were going to have to prove it to people in terms of putting something on the court that people actually wanted. You know, it's expensive to go to those games, and there's really no way around it in today's pro sports world that it's going to be expensive to go to those games. But they're trying to find ways to bridge that gap, and culturally is part of it. They're going to lean even harder into that now, I can guarantee that. But having an exciting product, not just a team that's going to work hard and play hard, which is what they had, you know, sort of the MO that they had, you know, started to build for themselves the last year or so. But having a, you know, the highlights matter too, and people taking notice just outside of Detroit matters too. And so I think that's the next step for them, is putting a product out there that really does get people interested in coming down to games.
We're talking to Detroit News columnist John Neal right now about the NBA draft, the Detroit Pistons, and also just building a culture here that is representative of the city of Detroit with the Pistons. We're taking your calls too, 313-577-1019. Is this team in the right direction? Have you noticed those cultural shifts that are happening with the team? Do you feel more connected? Are you paying attention more? Or do you think it's all just going to fall apart like it always does in this town? 313-577-1019. Let's go to Jacob in Detroit. You're on Culture Shift.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for taking my call. Love to hear you guys talking sports on Culture Shift. I think you guys got it right. If things go well for these teams, sports will be a massive part of the city's culture, so I'm glad to hear the conversation. But I think what I'm most excited about with both the Pistons and really the Lions is that they are finding guys who really fit the culture, whatever that means. They're young, they're cool, they're fun. And I think a lot of that goes back to the fact that both of the GMs come from a scouting background, which means these guys know how to find talent, but also find guys who are going to fit in with the team and finding the right guys. And I think it's been really clear from, you know, the way Cade interacts with the media and the town and what you're seeing from Ivy and Duren and a lot of the young Lions players already, that these are the right guys. They want to be here. And hopefully we can continue that. And when we start to win, it might be a little bit easier to find guys that want to come here and guys who want to stay here long term. And hopefully it continues to lead to really good times around town.
Jacob in Detroit, great call. We really appreciate that very, very much. And I mean, it's, you know, John, we know Detroit is not a destination if you're a big time free agent right now, but maybe you can build that culture from the ground up with younger guys who have talent, who are exciting, who are saying, you know what, Detroit is my city.
Yeah, absolutely. In a way, you have to do it that way, especially in a city like Detroit. Maybe, like you said, that's not going to be a free agent destination. You know, guys want to go to Miami or Dallas or L.A. or whatever, in New York. But Detroit's not at the top of that list, certainly in free agency. It's also that's how you build culture, too, though, is by building it, you know, from the ground up and from in the foundation. And so that's, he's right. Both these guys, Brad Holmes, GM of the Lions, who's been here a couple of years, same with Troy Weaver, who's been here now a couple of years with the Pistons. you know, more than a decade each, you know, 15 years plus, 20 years almost, in some of scouting background. And it's not as easy as it looks. We're all amateur GMs, you know, fans, media, et cetera. But when you're talking about guys, and especially in the NBA's case, we're talking about 18, 19-year-old guys that you're looking at and trying to figure out who's going to bust and who's not. It's not just the athleticism. It's not just the shooting stroke. It's you got to have a better spidey sense, if you will, about which of these guys get it and which of them don't, which guys really are going to maximize their potential, because all of them have potential, but certainly not all of them realize it. And so that's, you know, look, we're going to have to wait and see on a lot of these guys with the Pistons. And, you know, Weaver, would, like I said, he was joking about it last night. You know, he's going to add a couple of guys, probably a couple of veterans in free agency, just to sort of round out this roster and also babysit it in a way, because, you know, even if he's bringing in a 23-year-old, 24-year-old free agent, that guy's going to be one of the oldest guys in the rotation and on the roster. So
yeah, we've got
a lot of work to be done. And Dwayne Casey's, like I said, the coach is going to have plenty of nights where he's crying in his towel, but, yeah, that's how you do build it. A foundation, you know, build a culture is you do it from the ground up.
John, we've got just a minute here. I got to put this question to you. We talked to Terry Foster about this as well. Out of the four teams, who is going to be the first to connect all these puzzle pieces of a rebuild and bring that championship back to the city of Detroit?
Oh, talk about a three-legged sack race, right? you know what? The NBA is such a hard league to win because it's such a lopsided endeavor. But after last night, I'm starting to think it might be the Pistons. I really don't, you can make an argument for the Lions. You can certainly make an argument for the Wings or Tigers, but I'm not sure any of them feel real confident right now. But the momentum, I think, is probably in the Pistons side at this point.
I like that.
I wouldn't have said that a year ago.
Right, yeah, and I think Pistons fans like to hear that too. That is Detroit News columnist John Neo talking about the NBA draft and how the Detroit Pistons fared. The big story, getting that number 5 pick, Jaden Ivey, hometown kid. A lot of connections here and should bring a lot of athleticism to that backcourt with Cade Cunningham. Thanks to our callers and thanks to John Neo. We'd love to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me.